Right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. And of course, you can find them on the web at tqag.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we won't shred them at all. Here they are. So I knew it. The painting sold anyways.
It sold. They paid.
Yeah,
for it.
I said it would. I knew it would. Yeah. You know, and the other thing is, I still can't. The speculation is still running rampant about it, that Sotheby's was in on it, and I still say no. I don't believe that.
Well, a lot of people do say that it is, and I read an article yesterday that they have a lot of questions that still need to be answered. But the Banksy, the foundation that authenticates and everything about the painting, they've renamed it, and they've issued a whole new thing. And it's interesting because we're getting more background. Sotheby's, when they were cataloging everything, they wanted to take the piece out of the frame, but Banksy's people, the foundation, said, do not take it out of the frame because it's part of the artwork, which there are a number of artists that do that. But that raises a lot of, oh, no, they knew, you know, that something was up. I don't know. But that's what it is. Here's where we are.
Well, now the person that bid on it actually does have something that's probably even worth more now than it.
That's why they wanted to keep it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's a real one of a kind. And it's really part of what I had said last week is that it's now part of this legend in the art world that they pulled off this big thing. And it's part of the performance art.
I just wonder what will happen if the entire piece would have shred, if eventually they would have sold off piece by piece, which
well, that would have been the great thing had the shredder malfunctioned and it all just went right through.
Right. Yeah.
That would have really, I bet you there was an insurance policy on it though. I'd be willing to bet you so in case that happened.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So,
and here we are two weeks after still talking about it. And it's still like one of the top five things that are being talked about.
The funny thing, I don't know if you saw this, Marshall, but McDonald's jumped on the bandwagon, and their marketing person, they put a box of, it looks like French fries, and a box of fries goes through this big frame, and all that you see, the shredded part are the French fries. And the red boxes.
That's
got to
be
the frame.
That's got to be a copyright violation though somewhere.
Well, no, it's what's funny is that I love it. I just love how the art world has impact also because of the marketing of what and the reach of everybody talking about this. McDonald's jumped on it. So did Perrier. I think Perrier jumped on this and several other companies. So interesting how the art world has the effect on what goes on in our everyday lives, which a lot of people don't realize because it doesn't affect us in such ways as this, where this was, wow, you know, everybody was talking about it. The piece was shred. And now the social media and advertising, people are jumping in, which is pretty cool.
Speaking of jumping in, remember, only half the piece was shred.
I just have to say,
I don't know if you heard what I had said earlier.
I did.
I don't know if you were on yet. That if the entire piece would shred, I predicted that each piece would have individually sold at a later date for much higher prices than the whole. So that everybody, that at least however many shreds there were, we only know that there are going to be that many in the entire world. So
I don't know. I have to say this. You know, maybe not. One of my most treasured possessions was John Chamberlain, the sculptor, took the foil from a Vantage cigarette pack and made me a Chamberlain. And Sylvia, the late not lamented Sylvia, thought it was trash and threw it out.
Huh.
Wow.
So, well, so you know, it it wasn't in a place where it was trashed. So I just shreds have a way of just
of disappearing. Yeah. Being thrown away.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, yeah. Sorry about that. But I was struck by the whole thing. Greg, I respect. I cannot see how, on any level, there wasn't some awareness that this was going to happen, simply by the placement in the sale. But I also believe fully and completely that it does. Not only does it increase the value just because of awareness, but it connects people to the, like, oh, hey, wake up, which is the whole point of the Banksy program, let's call it, anyway.
Absolutely.
So,
if nothing else.
Disregarding, you know, all of what's been going on out there. And it's fun. And that's what I love about it. He's poking fun. It's tongue in cheek.
And that's the good part. And again, just with everyday stuff, and this goes back again decades. But I remember names will not be mentioned except for the artist. But it was an earlier Kiefer where he was using sand, I believe. And in the middle of the dinner party, you know, a portion of the painting kind of hit the floor. Because this is what people actually have to deal
with. What happens.
Yeah, this is what happens. And
that's what goes on.
Yeah.
Well, we are back from Napa and Sonoma. We were there last week and had a wonderful time. We were golfing and hit a number of different wineries, which was really a lot of fun. Right, Greg?
Yes, but
hit the winery
the
with your golf ball?
Were totally separate from each other.
Okay. Well, that's
we,
true.
We didn't. Yeah.
That's true. We weren't golfing while we were drinking, so it was.
Oh, I thought that was part of it.
That well that, kind of.
Not as bad as we play. It would only make it worse. Oh, so.
We need more concentration.
Yeah.
We're just beginning. So, but the interesting thing is that Sotheby's had a single owner wine auction, which this single collection. It was only 100 lots, and it featured the collection of great provenance. It was Romani Conti wines. And in this sale, they broke the world record for a single bottle at auction twice, not once, but twice. And they broke their own record. And Greg will give us the numbers. But it was fascinating because in the wine arena is that it's been just like every other artwork in other areas where there's fakes and forgeries and fantasy pieces that are out there. This is coming from one collection that they were distributors. It was a family that they were distributors for Romani Conti. So the provenance and the background of the wines being acquired directly from the from Romani Conti and having it cellared and also maintained for so many years, I think added to the value of the piece. And that's why these numbers just jumped out. But Greg, what was the highest bottle that sold at auction?
Well, the highest bottle that was previous to this was a 1945 Mouton Rothschild that sold originally in 2007 at Sotheby's for $310,000.
So that's and the then, old record.
Right. Fast forward to this past week, and the bottle that sold broke the record, and it sold for $843,000.
No, that was not the wine.
Excuse me, that was the whiskey. That was the bottle of whiskey.
We
the
didn't
wine.
Get there yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The wine. The two
the first
bottles. Yeah, the first bottle sold for I think it was
$496,000.
Yes, and then
the next lot.
Well, the next lot sold for
558,000.
Sorry. I have two pages open here, and I'm going back and forth, but the another bottle of the same wine in vintage sold for $496,000 just moments later. So there were two bottles of wine that within as many lots sold, broke the previous 2007 record twice. And
which I will tell you, we did not drink any bottles that were that old.
So it tells me that wine is definitely 1% or wine.
Yes,
that is true.
Most definitely. Well, then the whiskey. Then there was a 60-year-old bottle of whiskey that sold. It was a Macallan, a 1926, and it sold for $843,000.
My God.
Which was the highest price at Sotheby's history for a single spirit.
What was the previous? And P.S., people just have to understand that there's a lot of money, shall we say, sloshing about that.
Good one. That's a good one.
No, thank you. I don't know. It's important.
Well, and part of it, Jill, part of it is also the reason that these numbers are so significant. And this is what is about trying to understand what determines value. Is that particular bottle of whiskey was only one of 40 bottles ever produced, and out of that 40, there were only 12 that were labeled and signed with an exclusive design by the British artist Sir Peter Blake. So that particular bottle was one of 40, and was one of the 12 that was signed by the artist. So that's what makes it extraordinarily rare.
So it's not
desirable.
It's not really a bottle of whiskey. It's a piece of art, then.
It's a combination, right?
Well,
No one's ever going to drink it.
I think the argument could probably be made that even if it didn't have that particular piece of art, wine and spirits are not going to be opened. I think there could be an argument made that they're that they could be art themselves.
But I always wonder, do you open it or not?
No, of course not.
Most people do not.
Right.
Yeah. And what's the other
even I'm
characteristic that makes the wine so valuable is that in 1945, when Romani Conti did this, they only produced 600 bottles in 1945. So, and that was the last year before Romani Conti pulled up that particular stock, root stock, and put in newer stock. That the older, what they pulled out was the older stock. So it was probably, could have been 50, 60, 70, could have been 100 years old. And from that 1945 root stock is what those 600 bottles
represent.
So there are literally, since 1945, only 600 bottles of this.
Amazing.
Have come up. So that in itself is an important factor to remember when you're thinking of how much these sold for, because there won't ever be any from those vines again, I guess. And that was what caused the spike in the price. So and when it comes up, it doesn't come up obviously all that often. It's like 10 years ago since the last came up.
Right.
So
amazing. So, great stuff, and great stuff to drink. And we're going to enjoy the wines that we were able to afford.
Right.
Yeah.
Enjoy those wines and tell
someone. Just very quickly, one of our friends on Facebook said, I want some wine reviews. And all I could say was, my review, three more wine clubs joined. Does that answer your question?
There you go.
All right. Well, folks, there you go. The history of what the hell's going on in the world.
Really? Very quickly.
Between shredded art, shredded art and wine, we're talking billions of dollars. Okay.
This is why the world come to.
And people wonder why the Muslim nations want to destroy us.
Well, that's why I drink.
That's exactly right. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Have a good week.
Take care.
Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, a frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.